Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Hayemi, Maseches Chulin Daf Tzadiches. We are holding on Tzadi Zayin Amid Beis, 15 lines from the bottom of the Amid, back to Hilchais Taroives, mixtures between Isser and Heter. One example, which was given in our Mishnah, was the Gidan Asher, right? So he cooked up a stew of Gidim, of veins, of nerves, of sinews, one of which was forbidden, was the Gidan Asher. Amar Rav Nachman, Gid B'Shishim. So he has to cancel it out by having 60 times of Heter, as much as the Isser. So if it's one Gid amongst 60 of Heter, then it's bottle. And of course, as we learned in the Mishnah, the Gid itself, the actual material, is not bottle. He has to remove it if he can find it. So if he actually removes it, so the issue is not with the rest of the Gidin, which are known to be Heter, rather it's with the juice that accumulated here and has an element of Isser, which came out of the Gid Hanashe, right? So if he has an amount of permissible material, which is 60 times the volume of the Gid Hanashe, then the juice is mutter. Amar Rav Nachman, Gid B'Shishim. So Gid is bottle amongst 60. V'ein Gid Min HaMinyan. But of course, the prohibited Gid Hanashe doesn't count. So basically, you need 60 plus the Gid Hanashe. This way, you have 60 of Heter versus the single Isser. However, kechal, when dealing with a different type of mixture, kechal has milk inside, that's the udder of the animal. So here we're more lenient, we drop a number. He cooked up the udder with the milk content within it in a pot with 59 other pieces of meat, each one equal in volume to the udder. There's no issue of basar b'chalav, of milk mixing with meat, because the milk content of the udder was nullified, was batal, amongst the 59 other pieces of meat and the piece of meat which constitutes the udder itself. So here, interestingly, we include the udder in the 60 count. Why? So kechal, the udder is also batal b'shishim in 60, but in this case, you need 59 plus for a total of 60, including the udder. U'kechal min haminyan can count it as part of the 60. And the reason is very simple, because, look, in contrast to a forbidden piece of meat or a gid hanashe, which it in itself is problematic material, that can't count. You need 60 times aside from this one. But in this case, the udder itself is technically permissible. There's nothing wrong with the flesh of the udder. It's just the milk content within it that's a problem. It's asr mid rabbanon, actually, because it's milk of a shechted animal. But in any case, it's asr on account of the milk, not on account of the flesh itself. So technically, the udder can be counted in to the 60 to cancel out the milk content of this pot. Okay, now the next case, beitza. So you have an egg of an unkosher bird that got mixed into was cooked with other kosher eggs. So once again, we employ the 60 rule. Be'ya b'shishim. And in this case, since the unkosher egg is in itself forbidden, you can't count it in as part of the 60. You need 60 plus this one. Vein beitza min haminyan. Okay, now the Gemara will relate back to the kechal, the udder, which got mixed up with 59 equally sized pieces of kosher meat. So the total of 60 will cancel out the milk. But you think the udder itself is now mutter, right? No. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Breidar Mesharashia, Ukechal Atzmai Osir. Even after this bittul process was experienced, the kachal itself remains asur. In fact, v'nafal l'kedera acheres oiser, if it should drop into another pot, you know, just the udder itself, and there is no 60 to cancel it out, that the content of the second pot will be asur. And the question is why? Okay, coming up. Amar Rav Ashi. Says Rav Ashi, let's analyze this whole discussion. Ki avina be Rav Kahana. When we spent time in Rav Kahana's place, Iboilam, we had a question. See, the halacha is, right, the kal falls into the first pot with other pieces of meat. If there is 60 in total, it's batal. So we had a question. We calculate the volume of this udder. What are we looking to reckon with? Just the milk content within it, you know, the flavor that comes out of the udder? Or are we looking to cancel out the entire mass of the udder itself? So let's say the udder is 5 ounces in mass and in volume. You need 60 of that. Of that volume to make bittul, or is it merely a matter of flavor and taste that was exported by the udder, which is a smaller amount of volume? What are we looking to cancel out? What are we looking to be mevat b'didei misharin? And do we calculate according to the full mass of the full udder, or even my denafik minei misharin, or merely in terms of what exuded out of the udder? Well, pshita, obviously, we have to calculate based on the full mass of the udder. You know why? Because if it's just about the flavor that comes out, how would you know how much we're dealing with? So you have to counter the full mass of the udder. Okay, so now once you accomplish that, you're basically telling me that in the first pot, the whole udder became nullified. Meaning all the milk within it, it's all gone through this bittul, which was a full bittul on the full udder, on the full content of the udder. So how do we understand the next halacha? I said a minute ago that if this udder jumps out into another pot, we treat it like an isser entity, and it affects the content of a second pot. Why? This entire udder, from head to toe, was batal. Help me out if that's the case. Nafal l'kedera acheres loy. Loy yasser. If it jumps into the next pot, why would it interfere with the content of that second pot? There's nothing wrong with this udder. It's become fully nullified with all its milk. Says the Gemara, a big chiddush. Even the Amar of Yitzchak, you know, we said earlier that the kachal remains asr. You know what that means? Shavu rabbonon kechaticha denevhilo. Rabbon consider this entire udder like it's a piece of carcass, like a piece of unkosher meat. And Tosis goes into the whole discussion to explain why. You would think otherwise. You would say, look, in the first pot, everything is batal. All the milk just dispersed and got nullified in face of this overwhelming amount of kosher material, right? 60 times over. So why does the kachal itself retain isur to the point that it can actually infect the next pot? Tosfos, according to one pshat, says that it's midrabbanan, gzeira midrabbanan. Because look, even in the first pot, initially, there was milk in this udder. So when the cooking process began, the udder was sort of interacting with its milk, which was trapped within it. So although eventually it did disperse and permeated the entire mix of meat there, and that basically triggered the bittul process, because it got dispersed and it's not discernible anymore. But initially, it was very tangible. It was very real. In this udder. Mitchilas bishuloi, he says, initial stages of cooking, koit mishiyotza achalav legamri, before the milk was exported throughout the entire content of the entire pot, neser achalav, so it becomes asr in this udder. And he says that, you know, since at that point it was pre-bittel, there's a real mix of meat and milk in that udder, pre-bittel. So there's a gzera, we want to keep it asr. There's a gzera, a person might eat it at that early point, at that early stage. You might say, okay, it's batel, let me eat it right now, which is really not true, because it's not yet batel, because it hadn't yet dispersed. So that's one reason why Tesis says the kachal would be labeled as asr, and it retains its isr status even after the milk goes and disperses and, you know, becomes batel. We treat the kachal, the udder, as something which is absolutely asr, to the point that if it now hops into the second pot, again, you have to be mabatled with 60 times. Otherwise, it's like a piece of an avela. Very interesting halacha. Okay, beitza b'shishin, vein beitza min aminyan. In the next case, we had an egg cooked with others. You need, 60 times over. And the beitza itself doesn't count as the 60. You need 60 plus, right? Apparently, the unkosher egg exudes unkosher flavor, right? Amar le Rav Ida bar Avin, he asked Labai, why? Lememer, do you mean to say diavatama, that an egg will give off flavor? So, apparently we're speaking that he knows which egg it was, he took it out, so that's not an issue. Meaning he's not going to actually eat the egg itself. And or, let's deal with just with the juice, right? If we deal just with the juice, so it's a question of flavor. So do you mean that an egg inside a shell, inside its encasing, will give off flavor? Do you remember the avatama? Vamri inshi, people say, he's not very fond of the soup, he says, oh, it tastes like egg water. Kimaya de bebama, it's just like water coming out of an egg. Basically, it's an expression. Egg water is not really tasty. Amalisi says, you're right. Hachab my skin was speaking. We turn to Tzadik Chesamadal. Bebeitzas Efreach. This be Efreach. That there's a undeveloped chick or whatever inside this egg. Rashi says, Shabbos are not nice and tam. If it's just simply an egg from an unkosher bird, you're right. There wouldn't be an issue of flavor, of taste. But he was speaking that it could be a kosher egg of a kosher chicken, but the chicken side hadn't developed yet. It's just, it failed. It's now just a dead piece of meat, which is not kosher. And that basar works its way through the shell and imparts flavor throughout. Aval tmei aloi. But you're right. If it's just a plain egg of an unkosher bird, that wouldn't be an issue. Esvi has a kasha now. From a brisa where it seems that even a pure egg, if it's from an unkosher variety, presents a concern, a kosher concern. Eisvei beitzim tohai rice, shoshalkin beitzim tmei ice. So he cooked up some kosher eggs with unkosher eggs. Im yesh ben benois and tam, there's enough there to give off flavor, kulan asuris. It makes everything asur. Apparently even an egg can impart flavor. He says, we're talking about the same idea of an undeveloped chick. But my curly tmeya, why does the brisa refer to it as a tmeya? It's tmeya. The issue is not its variety, it's just its meat content. Given this, but froyach, curly tmeya, because of its froyach content, it's calling it a tmeya because it's unkosher material, but really it could hail from a kosher type. Says the Gemara, take a look at the next part of the brisa. But Mektani say, but look at the next part. Beitim Shesholkan, he cooked up some eggs, and in this scenario, we discovered an undeveloped chick. Venimtza Afreyach Bachasman, he opened an egg and he sees the undeveloped chicken there. What to do with the rest? Im Yesh Behem Benesin Tam, if they were affected by his flavor, right? Less than 60, right? Kulan Asurais, he makes it all asur. So this. This part of the brisa, the second part, refers to an efreyach, mechlal dereisha. Apparently, the first case in the brisa was speaking strictly X. Mechlal dereisha, the last part, without an efreyach, skin was speaking without egg, without the chicks, just simple eggs on kosher cooked with kosher. No, Perushka Mefarish. It's all one and the same case. The Brice is just explaining itself. What does it mean when it says Beitzim Tehoiru is Shesholkon and Beitzim Tmeis? He cooked up the kosher with the unkosher. If there is a spreading of flavor, it's all asur. Ketzad, what is that? For instance, Kigan Shesholka Benimtza Frech Bachas Men. He cooked up some eggs and he discovered undeveloped bird in one of them. I'm Mustavar, I'll even prove to you that we're talking about this case only. Not just regular eggs, which don't have an issue of flavor. These are Gedaitach Reshet, Leis by Efreach. Because otherwise, if you're going to tell me that the first case in the price is speaking about plain eggs without the Efreach, so why would the price have to go on and elaborate on a case with an Efreach? It sounds redundant. I mean, if the plain egg is a problem, certainly the one with the content. Hashta, Leis by Efreach, Asura. If even a plain egg without any forbidden content would be Asur. Without any meat content. The ispa efreich mboye, obviously, right, goes without saying. If it has efreich inside, flavor is more pronounced, and of course, it would be an issue. So why bother discussing that? Oh, apparently, the Brice is not talking about a plain egg at all. From beginning to end, the Brice is talking about the one with the efreich. Because a plain egg would not pose a concern. Well, that's not really a proof. If this is the only way to... This wasn't really going to be conclusive. You know why? Tana Seif, L'Gliteration. Perhaps the Braisa is structuring itself differently. And that really, the whole Braisa, the Braisa is talking two different cases. Plain egg and egg with content. Tana Seif, L'Gliteration. The second part of the Braisa is coming to reveal, to clarify the context of the first section of the Brice. Shloi Tami, you shouldn't have a notion to think Reisha de Isba Efreach, that the first case is speaking to Riz Efreach, and that's the only way it poses an issue. Ava Lesba Efreach Sharia, but without an Efreach, just a plain egg wouldn't pose a concern. That's what you would think. Ah, Tano Sefer de Isba Efreach. Therefore, the Brice comes around the second part, refers to a case with an Efreach. To imply that the first case is talking just plain eggs. Okay, so bottom line is we have no raya from the Braisa, but the Gemara did seem to imply that an egg inside its shell would not pose a tam concern unless it's in a freyach. Continues the Gemara. There was a kazayis worth of tarb, of unkosher, of forbidden fats. The nafal b'dekula dropped into a cooking pot. The bisraf with the kosher meat. Now, for example, the chalev was, let's say, an ounce. And after it cooked together, he made a measurement. And turns out that the permissible meat there was only, 55 ounces. Not enough to make bitul b'shishim. So Ravasi figured, but look, the pot itself did absorb some of the kosher material. And according to our estimation, it absorbed quite a lot, a good couple of ounces. And if you calculate that absorbed material and add it to the 55 ounces, you have 60 times as much to cancel out the chalev, the ounce of chalev. So Rav Asi, or Rav Ashi, l'shiurei, he was contemplating to calculate this b'may debala dekut, together with the absorbed material in the pot, and add it to the 55 ounces, for a total of, 60, let's say. Well, you have 60 ounces of heter, that cancels out the gezayis of Isser. Perfect. Well, kosher. Umrli Rabbanan, so they told the Rav Ashi, hold it. Well, why are you assuming that the pot only absorbed permissible material? And you can sort of factor that in. It also absorbed some of the chalev. So just because you have merely an ounce of chalev here, that's post-absorption. Right? The pot absorbed the Isser at the same rate as the heter. See, the initial volume, the initial mass of the chela was greater than a kazai, than an ounce. So you haven't really gained much. because you would need 60 times the greater volume, the 1.5 ounces of chela, which you certainly don't have. So if it absorbed the heter, it absorbed the isser too, so you're back to square one. Amrili Rabban Ramashi, ato de heter abal, do you mean the pot only absorbs heter, the yisura loibal doesn't absorb isser? So you can't work with this theory. Now, all this is talking when there is a full amount of chelev dropping into a pot, etc. What if you have a small amount of isser, less than a kazayis? Now, a kazayis is your baseline, right? The minimum volume that is required for liability, for getting malchus, for getting a punishment. What if it's only half a kazayis and falls into a pot? Do you still need 60 times as much? Or can you be lenient on that? Here comes an interesting Gemara. It so happened that there was a half a zayis of chelev, the nafal b'dikul debis, dropped into a pot of meat. So Rav Ravashi figured l'shura b'tlas and palga d'zayis. All you need is 30 times as much. So you have 30 half zayis of permissibles. That cancels out the half a zayis of chelev. So instead of 60 times, 30 is enough. Amar li avos, his father says, no. Love, I mean, look, haven't I already told you? Like to zalzel b'shur, the rabbanon don't disregard the shiurim, even in matters of the rabbanon. So even though this half a zayis of chelev is not also min ha-Torah, it's only the rabbanon, but you can't disregard it. You need 60 times as much. Void. Furthermore, Rabbi Yechon tells us, true, there's no malchus, there's no kares, but chatzi shir, even part of a shir, a half a kazayis, is still asur to eat min ha-Torah. So we treat it like any other Isra Torah, you need 60. Amarav Shaman Bar Abba Amarav Idibar Idi Bar Gershon Amar Levi Bar Prato Amarav Nacham Amarav Biryam Mishum. In the name of a great elder, Zokin Echad. And who was it? What was his name? Rabbi Yaakov Shemei. As follows, the Ben Nasiya Amru, in the household of the Nasi, they said like this, Beitza, unkosher egg, got cooked with others, Bisamach Asura. Okay, in 60, it's still Asur. Bisamach Va'achas Mutaris. In 61, it's okay. Now, we're not clear what he means. So, certainly it sounds like he's being Machmer. But what does he mean? Amar Rabbi Zera. So he asked, Lord of Shamar Barab, Reisha Tamatabog Vilheter. Look, you're establishing a parameter here. How to make it mutter? You're saying it needs to have 61, right? Any less doesn't work. But what do you mean when you say 61? Are you being machmer? Typically, when something falls into 60 plus the isser, it's potel. Is that what you mean? What do you mean? You need 61 plus the egg. Are you going up a step, or are you sticking to the regular bittel? If you're not being clear, people can misinterpret what you're saying and apply the same standard rule of shishim to this egg too. 60 plus the egg is mutter. He says, look, this is an old question. Sharei shnei gdoli hador, because it so happens that the two great men of the generation were asked about this specific point. V'loy perishu sadava, they didn't clarify it. Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi and also Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman, they both quoted Mishmei Rabbi Shmuel Levi Amri. They said, Beitza, an egg, b'shishim asur, in 60 is asur, b'shishim achas muteris, in 61 it's okay. By the way, they were asked this question. When you say in 61 it's okay, b'shishim ba'achas b'hadedida, 61 including this egg, oydim levarmen, or in addition, so you need the egg plus 61 for a total of 62. Well, they pashed, and it wasn't resolved. Omar pashed lemipshat. You're just stating it as a fact, but not clarifying. You know, we need clarity. In any case, the Gemara concludes: Itmar Amar b'chel b'amar afuna beitza b'shishem v'hi asura. By the unkosher egg, we lift it up a notch. We upgrade it. So in fact, 60 vihi plus the egg is asura, still it's not batal. B'shishim ba'achas vihi muteres. If 61 plus in addition to the egg, so it's a total of 62, then it's okay. And the Mefarshim endeavor to explain why. Why is it by the egg we go up another number? Some explain because the Rambam says because an egg is a full entity, it's a bria, it's chashiv, and you know, with Rabbanon, they gave it extra prominence to require more, to actually overwhelm it and nullify it. Okay, let's go back to the you know, the chalev that fall into a pot, and the chalev only has less than a kezias. I would also commend Rabbi Gamliel by Rebbe. There was a fellow that approached Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rebbe, with a question. He said he had a half a zayas, forbidden fat, dropped into his pot of meat. Nope. Amar Lacy says, my father, Rabbi Yakalish, Abba, only Abba le Shir, Barbon Besheva, didn't my father allow it with merely 47 times as much? So he did not require Shishim to nullify, you know, a half a Isser. And I'll take it a step further, Vani Ashayer, Barbon Bechamish, I'll calculate, I'll measure, I'll be happy, I'll be satisfied with 45. Interesting. There was another fellow approached Shimon, the son of Rebbe, so he was only his brother, with the same kind of question. Normally he says, I'm going to go down to 43. I recall my father, didn't he allow it with 45? I'll allow it 43. There was a fellow that approaches Rebbe with a similar question. He says, could you measure up the pot and see, is there at least 30 times? Says the Gemara, time of the Lekashloish. So, what's implied here is that it would only be Asr if there's no 30. Hoikashloish is Sharin, but if there is 30, that's enough. I mean, that's pretty lenient. Amar Abchanina Guzma, he didn't mean it literally, it's an exaggeration. He meant to say there isn't even 30, but of course, 30 is going a bit too far, that wouldn't be enough to make Bittul. Okay, now in general, we require 60. Here comes a new Shita. A shita which says 100. Amr Abchia, Bar Abba, Amr Shom Alevi, Mishum, he quotes Bar Kapara, Kol Yisuran Shabbat Torah B'Shishim. He says that, you know, you have two items, even with different flavors, or whatever, you need 60, right? As per the Gemara until now. Amr Lafanav, Rabbi Shmo Bar Rabbi Yitzchok, see, he responded, he says, Rabbi, you're quoting Rabbi Shmuel Levi, Bar Kapara, that 60 times of heter can cancel out the Yisr? Hachi Amar Abasi. We have another quote from the same source. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Levi, Shmuel Kapara. No, 60 is not enough. Kol Yisr and Shabbatayra are only batel b'meya, when you have 100 times as much. Okay, interesting machlekes. Is it 60 or is it really 100? And where is it coming from? Ushneim loylamdu, they both have a source from the same halach in the Torah. The same phenomenon. This is the korban shalomim that a nazir brings, a portion of which is given to a kayin, and only the kayin may eat it. That's a zroya, forearm. But ironically, it's cooked together with the rest of the shlomim which the Yisrael eats. What happens to the flavor? It travels from the zroya, which is kohen material, into the rest of the pot. You got to work with bittul. And the question is it based on 60? Or is it based on 100? What affects the bittul? Is it 60 times over or 100? We'll see. Ushneim lo lamdu el mizroya b'sheil. They're both coming from the halacha of the zroya that's cooked together with the Ayel, the ram, the nazir, the shlamim, the chsiv, as the pasuk says, v'lo kach ha-kayin ha-zroi b'sheila, right? It's given to the kayin. Utanya, we learned in a braisa, that it's cooked together. B'sheila, the word b'sheila teaches us, we turn to Amud Beis, ein b'sheila l'shleima. The word b'sheila means it's cooked whole. B'sheila, Rashi says, it's cooked as is. So that's the Tanakama. Rav Shimon Nechai Oimer, Ein b'sheila elishin is bashla ima ayil. He says that the pasuk says mina ayil means that it's cooked together with the rest of the animal. Now, what's the difference between Tanakama and Rav Shimon Nechai? Let's see. The kuliyam all agree that it's cooked together. Okay, that's the consensus. The kuli alma bahad the ayil mavashla. When you cook these royats together with the same pot as the rest of the ayil. The question just is exactly how they do it. Mar savar mechatech labahad mavashla. Right, it's based on the fact that the pasuk says the kohen takes it min ayil. Right, look, the kohen says rebe shelo min ayil, which means that it was cooked together. That's a given. Except Mar Savar Tanakama holds, the first sheet to hold, Mechatechla, first he severs the Yisroya from the rest of the animal, Vadim Mashal, and he cooks it, but he cooks it together. Umar Savar, Shemachai says no. You only cut it off afterwards. Mevashallah, Vadim Mechatechla, first you cook and then you cut it. So it's just a, you know, a question of sequence, but in terms of what pertains to us, is that all agree you cook it together. How could you? What happens to the tam, the flavor coming out of the Yisroya, which is prohibited for the Yisrael to eat. Okay, so that's coming up in a minute. Another way to understand the machlekes is the kuli alma mechatech labadim vashla. All agree that you first remove the zroya from the rest of the animal, then you cook it together. Miu, then you cook it. Question just is miu. Question is, do you cook it together? Mar savar bada ayil mavashla. Rabbi Shimon Chai says you cook it together with the ayil. So now, again, you have the issue of flavor transfer. Umar Sabar, Tanakam says, no, it's cooked separately. Begdera, Cheres, and Vashla, you cook it separately in a different pot. So according to this view, it wouldn't be an issue. There's no transfer of flavor. But Lishna Kam, according to the first version of events, we're all agreed that it's cooked together. So you have the flavor transfer issue. Aliba the Reako. So our issue pertains to all opinions. You have to come on to some sort of nullification system because it's cooked together. Lishna Basra, however, according to the second version, it would be only an issue according to Shimon Yichai, Aliba Shimon Yichai. Okay, so in any case, however you go, there is some issue here, right, of flavor transfer. So what's the solution? Bittul, nullification. So the Torah here is introducing us to the concept of bittul. Evidently, the rest of the animal overwhelms any possible flavor coming out of the Zeroya. The question is, to what extent? What numbers are we talking about? And that's the Machlekes. Are we speaking about a volume which is 60 times as much as the Zeroya? So it's based on the Bittul of Shishim? Or is it really more? The rest of the animal encompasses 100 times the mass of the Zeroya. So now the question is, what are you trying to be mevatel in the Zeroya? The Zeroya that belongs to the Kohen has in it basar, flesh, which certainly gives off flavor, but it has also a bone material, which perhaps doesn't. So if you count the Zeroya as one big mass, flesh and bones, which you have to be mevatel, the rest of the animal only has the mass of the rest of the animal is only 60 times as much the total mass of the Zeroya. In that case, we're dealing with a bittul of shishim. However, if you discount the bone material within the Zeroya, you just look at the flesh, which is what transfers flavor, according to this opinion. So now there's some total mass of the basar and the ayil at large is actually 100 times over, 100 times more than the basar within this Zeroya. Now we're dealing with a 100 versus 1 equation, bittul b'meyah. Hence, the source for this machlekes. Whether a bittul requires shishim only, or perhaps even 100. Okay, let's see. Mando amar b'shishim, the one that maintains that it's 60. How does he get to that number? Because according to his perspective, that's what's happening here. Savar he holds basar v'atzamais, the basar and the bones of the zroya has to match up with the bones and the flesh of the rest of the animal. Bahadi, it's put opposite, the basar v'atzamais, the basar and the bones of the rest of the animal, b'sharina, that's what we calculate, and it's really 60 times over. V'havali b'shishim. Rashi says, v'kimlu l'rabban, Rabban had established this as a formula, they knew it was shishim. However, Madam Rabbi Meir, the one that maintains that you need 100, Savar, he holds, skip the bones. Rashi says, the holy pullet, tamim, you know, there's no flavor coming out of the bones. Madam Rabbi Meir, Savar, he holds, basar b'adi basar sharinim, you only calculate the flesh versus the flesh. In which case, you have 100 times more kosher than unkosher. Rabbi Rabbi Meir, so it's 100. Hence, he arrives at his number of 100. Says the Gemara, how at all are you going to learn from the story of the Nazir? Umi Alfina, how could you even learn any halachas from there? Vatani, we have a braisa which says, this is an exceptional case. This is an anomaly. Vatani, zehu heter. This is an example of permissibility, which is unique, which is exclusive to this case. Haba mechal iser, which is typically aser, it's an exception. Now when it says zehu, this is an exception. L'mutimai, as opposed to what? We assume it's precluding the application of this formula to other Isser mixes. So how can you apply this elsewhere? Amar Abayi, no. The Braisa doesn't mean that we can't apply these numbers, 60 or 100, to other mixes. There is another element which is unique to this case. Amar Abayi, Lenitzroch, it's only needed El Rab Yudah, Kointer Rab Yudah. The Amar who says, typically, Min Bemina Le Batal. Only when you have two opposing, challenging, you know, flavors, they cancel each other out. But if it's Min Bemina, two of the same type of material, they're not going to cancel each other out, regardless of, you know, proportions. That's the universal rule. Min b'mina loy batl. Here's an exception. Kamashmon, the points that Bryce says to say, the hacha batl, in this case it is batl. Despite the fact that they're both similar materials, right? This roya and the rest of the animal. So on that we say, here's an exception. But in terms of the general formula of shishim or meya, that could be applied universally. Ask the Gemara, but just as a side point, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, why do we preclude bittl by min b'mina? We learn from here that even min b'mina is batl, just as this roya, which is batl in the rest of the aisle. V'ligmar b'mina, let's learn from here. V'ligmar b'mina. Well, Goli Rachmana, we have another source which doesn't allow it. That's on Yom Kippur. V'lokach ha-koyin, the koyin takes, v'lokach midam ha-par, midam ha-sor, takes the larger quantity of blood coming from the par, from the cow, and mixes it with the umidam asur, with the blood of the goat, which is a smaller amount, and he mixes it together. Tavayu bahadi adadi nenu, right? Mix them both together. They're not going to nullify each other. In fact, they both have maintained their respective statuses, and they can be applied in the Beis HaMikdash. So you see that two of the same type don't cancel each other out. Okay, so now you have a question on your hands. By the Zroya B'Sheila, we see even Bin B'mina is batal. By the blood of the Karbonis, it's not. So now we have another example, which is sort of a toss-up. We have a question by regular carbon. Is a batal or is it not batal? So who says which way to go? Perhaps we should learn from the Zroya B'Sheila that it is batal, even by Bin B'mina, right? Umay Chazas, who's to say? Why do you prefer the Gamrina may have to learn from Yom Kippur that Min B'mina is not batal? Why can't we learn from the Zroya B'Sheila that it is batal? Chidushu says the Gemara, you can't learn from there. It's an anomaly. It's something unusual. What's so unusual about it? Says Rashi, look, here's an example of bittul isur l'chatchila. You're taking something which is prohibited and you're being mevatlit l'chatchila, doing an active process to nullify. You never do that. Bittul is, you know, when something drops in by mistake. You don't actively go and mevatl. And here the Torah is allowing us to initiate a process of bitul chatchila. That's a chiddushu. U'mechiddush like Arina, we can't learn from a chiddush case. That's an exceptional case. Says the Gemara. So then, how could you learn anything? You're not learning that min b'mitul min is batul, going to be defined. But what about the numbers, the 60, the 100 that we do learn from the Ayal Nazir? How could you? It's a chiddush. Yochi, if that's the case, that it stands on its own, then regarding numbers, Lameya, Vesama, 160, Nami, Loi, Ligmar, you can't learn that either. Well, says Ligmar, of course we could. You know why? Ato anan lekula gamrina. We're trying to learn something lenient, a leniency. Just the opposite. Lechumra gamrina. We're trying to learn a strictness. Don't think, you know, just a plain little mix is bottle. You need 60 times as much, 100 times as much. That's a chumra. The midaraisa, because truly, if you look at the psukim, the Torah, without knowing all these, peruba bottle, you just say majority wins. Rashi says, achirabim lahatis, look at the bezin. Majority rules, right? So you would think the same with mixes. As long as you have majority of kosher, the whole thing becomes kosher. That's what you would think. That would be the sort of starting point. Baseline is, roiv is enough. No. Now we go to Zerai B'Shela and we say, look, roiv is not enough until you have 60 times as much or 100 times as much. So even though Zerai B'Shela is a chiddush, what's the chiddush? So the chiddush actually is a kula, it's a leniency. The Torah allows you to set forth a motion, a process where you're being mevatel lechatchila. So you're right. You can't learn another leniency from that. To say, well, just like we have that leniency over there, we should apply it everywhere. No, that's an exceptional case. It's a lenient case to begin with. We allow a bit to lechatchila. You're right. But here we're not trying to learn a leniency, just the opposite. What we're saying is, don't think when Isser and Heta get mixed up, Roiv is enough to nullify it. You need more, you need 60, 100. That's a chumrah. That you can learn from Zerai B'Shela. And Rashi adds another twist. If anything, all the more, even Zerai B'Shela, which has an apparent leniency, we allow bitul l'chatchila, active nullification. Still, you need 60. Still, you need 100 to implement a bitul. Certainly, in a regular situation where bitul l'chatchila is not allowed, certainly, of course, you need 60 or 100, and of course, provides a good source. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow. Be'ez Hashem. In the meantime, what we have is the halachas of bitul iser v'heter. It's one of iser in 60 of heter. By the egg, we had an exception. We added one. We have the exception by the kechal, where you only need 59, because the kechal technically is not aser, but further down the road, it will be considered like an item of iser, like chatichat and avela regarding the next pot. We spoke about the eggs being cooked together, whether it's an issue. Certainly, if there's an afreyach in there, it's an issue. Otherwise, it was a whole shaila. We discussed the concept of imavata, something which has less than the shir kazayis, or whether you can even be mevata less than 60. L'alach l'maisa, so we don't do that. We need 60 even for a small amount. We have another chiddush, according to one version of Akapara. A bittul b'shishim is not enough. You need bittul in 100, and it's all based on how you learn the story of the Zerai B'Shela, which is cooked together, at least according to some opinions, cooked together with the rest of the shlamim, and it doesn't interfere. Why? Because there is enough mass to overwhelm the Zerai B'Shela. Either it's 60 or it's 100, based on your mode of calculation. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rav.